Welcome to the Edgy Tech Me podcast. This episode is produced by Ben Newsom, Suzette Bailey, Carrie Benedette and Jonathan Schack. And yes, I am an AI introducing each episode. There is a lot of debate around how much work students plagiarize and how much of it is done with the help of AI tools. There is no definitive answer yet, but the conversation is ongoing. This episode discusses the idea that plagiarism is not as clear-cut as people think and that the definition of plagiarism needs to change in order to reflect the changing landscape of technology. Does artificial intelligence produce original work? Copyright law is still trying to grapple with how to deal with AI-generated content.
All right, really looking forward to this particular chat because one of the things that comes up with education, Carrie, is, does AI produce a problem when it comes to plagiarism with students? And yes, no, and everything in between, I suspect, Carrie.
It's a huge topic, isn't it? And we're always wanting the students to be able to produce work of their own. And there's been a whole lot of debate over the last few years about how much work gets done by parents at home, by tutors, back channels on in groups that you have where there's a bit of a sale going on or a purchasing opportunity for pre-done essays and
yes.
I mean, really, plagiarism, I mean, it's always topical. Somebody else, you know, we get the news bulletin, somebody else has stole so-and-so's idea and put it up as their own. So it is a big deal. The IP is a big deal, Ben, and I think it's a major topic, particularly around AI and using AI as a tool. So how do we, you know, safeguard the outcomes, the learning outcomes of our kids? That's the most important thing here. I think if we bring it down to learning outcomes, I think that's where we go with it.
Absolutely. I mean, I know that I used to be a robotics judge for a few different robotics competitions, and you could really tell who had been coached within the inch of their lives and who was saying things by rote as opposed to actually knowing what was going on. Because me as a judge, I was one of the people that interviewed the kids and found out what they actually knew. And turns out not always this is what they thought. That's definitely the case. And I suppose what you just said there, Carrie, is important. It's about the learning outcomes. But I guess is that thinking about it, I mean, AI is designed to produce fresh content, right? So is it fresh? Is it plagiarism if it's been created by AI? But hang on, the student's submitting it, right? So how does this all work? What do you reckon, Suzette?
So probably taking a step back and actually talk about, you know, so at least give everyone a bit of an understanding of what we're talking about, just as to why it actually is a plagiarism discussion, is that with natural language processing AI, which can write indistinguishably from human, the content it writes is original content and will pass plagiarism, has been tested and has been proven. So it is original content. But the thing with it is it's now been written by the AI, but it came from the idea of the human. And from my and this is where I suppose for me, I think we're going to be challenging the concept of plagiarism because the human still generates the idea and the quality of the content that the AI generates or the closest to the actual intent or purpose of the content comes from the actual knowledge of the individual. But then conversely, at the other end of the process, the human still is required to edit it and validate the information before publishing it or handing it into their teacher, whichever way they do it. So, you know, is the AI writing it or is it a collaboration between you and the AI? This is what's up for debate.
I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts on this, Shaki? I mean, your family involved in education here.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the concept of calculators coming into mathematics, as was just happening when I was leaving school. And one of the things the students had to do, of course, was to demonstrate their thought process. And yes, the calculator would, you know, come up with the result, but it was the process that was important. And I think that must be the case generally in what we're talking about, frankly. But, you know, when we go back to Carrie's point about the learning experience, I think this is really interesting because, again, if I go way back into the dim distant times when we were given projects to do and we went to the library and got the World Book Encyclopedia out and we copied it And that was it. That was our assignment.
Yeah.
But you do learn by writing things down. So there was a learning experience in that. And of course, all the teachers knew that everybody was doing it. So, you know, it was forgiven, basically. But, you know, we had resource, you know, where did it come from? Came from the World Book Encyclopedia. And if you didn't, then you'd get slapped on the wrist. And then the next generation was copy and paste. Because things were up online, they just copy the block and they'd put it into their work. And that was frowned on. But it got away with it for a little while, but it was frowned on. So, you know, I love this concept that, you know, you can, if you've got a tool, and if AI is a tool, and you come up with the concept and you come up with the theory and whatever, and it just does some number crunching and some grunt work, well, that's what computers are supposed to be for. But to claim a natural language piece of work as your own would be where it falls down, because you didn't write it, the AI wrote it, even though it could not write it without your input.
Does it mean that we sort of look at it from a point of referencing? So you mentioned, you know, going to an encyclopedia, saying so-and-so wrote this, you know, brackets, date, whatever. Does that mean we just reference the AI, say, you know, in you know, framing this particular conversation? So, you know, so-and-so said this, AI 2021. And
I suspect so, but, you know, I'm only shooting from the hip here. I don't really know.
The thing is, I don't think it's quite as clear cut as that either, Jonathan, though, because we get our AI to write reports that are based, you know, that are modeling previous reports of my own reports, for instance. So it's writing the first draft, but it's writing the first draft based on a report that I actually wrote. So it's taking the, you know, as the case of, as you're saying, the calculator, it's me doing, instead of me using it longhand on a piece of paper, I'm using a calculator to do the calculation. I'm doing the same thing. Yet in other situations, it's doing it based on other people's work. So I think this is not as cut and dry as people think. And I think the whole concept of what constitutes plagiarism and original work, and what, well, probably even turning it around and actually say what constitutes original work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is the actual learning, because ultimately the child or the student or whichever level they're doing, because when this goes right up to academics and
PhDs have to come up with original work.
But the student is still actually, if they're still validating, verifying and editing that information before they provide it and submit it, I think it's a grey area that's, I think the whole aspect of what constitutes plagiarism will actually change and has to change because of technology.
So I'm just wondering, would it pass muster, like, you know how you have to have appendices, right? Where you write this big report, you have an appendix saying, here's some extra stuff that you can read if you feel like it. What if you have to submit nowadays the draft that the AI produces, and therefore people can see the difference about what you referenced versus the real? I mean, because the thing about, like, going back to Shaki's idea about referencing, you know, the encyclopedia, people could look up that volume, right? They could look up volume 13, they can see that page number, they can see exactly what was written, and they can confirm that it was written correctly. But if we're not referencing the AI, or worse, if we're referencing the AI's original work, because as we talked about in a previous conversation, the AI can produce its own original work. If you're referencing it, but you're not actually giving them a chance to see that work, that's where it's very, very blurry in some ways. What are your thoughts around that, Carrie?
Well, Ben, over the last decade or more, a lot of the learning tasks that are set for any of our students in schools are actually asking to see the process, the development. So the big question, or that's, you know, the learning task that they're given, the inquiry that they're looking into. So they're asked actually to put down the steps and do the steps to show what it is. Now, I'm going to throw a flame in here, because everybody, I think, depending on what you've read, what you've learned, what you've experienced yourself and how you've reflected on that and how you've processed it, would pinch a little bit of something that, say, Albert Camus had in a poem, right? Something that Aristotle said in a quote, something that, I mean, I'm forever saying, you know, look at Maya Angelou's work about, you know, people, how you will feel, the way you feel is what's going, you're going to be affected by that person. You'll remember them by that. So it's, we've all pinching bits, whether you're a horticulturist, whether you're into kinesthetic and body movement, whether you're a, you know, a nurse, whatever it is that we're doing, we've all borrowed, in a way, bits of info that helps. That's our curiosity to learn. We're curious. How did they come to that assumption? I mean, I think that's why podcasts have become so fantastic in this day and age. And that's exactly why we're having the conversation, you know, because we're all learning from each other. So come on, Jonathan, I know you're itching to say something.
Look, just this weekend, I don't know if anyone saw the Weekend Australian Magazine. There was an interview article with Paul McCartney. And I think it was Please, Please Me. He actually came up with the, I think melody's the right term. I'm not musical at all, but I think he came up with the melody, but he kept thinking, I must have got this from somewhere. So he went to John Lennon and played it for him. And he, I think you've got an original thing, but he still, I couldn't have come up with this. So he went to George Martin and you know, checked it out. And George said, well, I can't refer it to anything else. It's probably original. And then they went to another artist who was sort of supposedly the key sort of repository of all things popular music, and they didn't recognise it as anyone else's. But gosh, you could really easily think you've come up with something original.
Yeah.
Because it's way, way back in your subconscious.
Yeah.
And but you find yourself, you're plagiarising someone. I mean, Paul, George Harrison got caught with that with My Sweet Lord and the Chiffons. I didn't think it sounded anything like it. But anyway, the judge did.
Yeah, but that's the point. And I'm pleased you get this Aussie in WA. It's good to know it's getting across the border, but just an aside. but I think that's the big quandary here, especially when you're in education. I mean, you know what a student's working like, right? When you're a teacher, you know, and you look at what they turn in, you go, well, wow, I haven't seen any evidence of that ever. So let me find out, how do I just put my detective hat on and go, well, get in here, we need to ask a few questions, or do you start using some of your, where have I seen that before, you know? It's going to be an interesting way. I think maybe a new definition of plagiarism.
Well, just thinking about this, I mean, we had this problem of cascading references, yeah? So, like, if you don't know the big breadth of all knowledge ever created, which no one's ever going to do, you're going to quote someone thinking that's the original work, and it's cascaded to the point of where actually someone in that chain potentially ripped someone off and didn't acknowledge it, and now they've called it their own, and you don't even know. You say, so-and-so, 1973, and it's not the case at all. But the beauty about this, I suppose, is that AI does produce original work. It does scour all that breadth of knowledge and then produces original work, and if we then take that and tweak it again, surely it's got to be close to being original at that point. What do you reckon?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
You would. We've got to be sensible about this. We're human beings, and we've actually got to be sensible about how this advances our culture, advances our society. If we get too pernickety on things, we'll tie ourselves up in knots.
Yeah. The thing with this is that also we've got to take a step back and go, like, we're talking about copyright in general on that side of it. And we are as humans, we build on knowledge that comes before. Very rare is anything truly, truly original.
Yeah.
We're modeling. And what the AI is doing is it is creating original content, but it's modeling it on content before. So it's not in itself, like, you can take, you know, we have a thing called inspirations, and we can't call them inspirational quotes because it's not actually quoting anything. It's mimicking a quote that people would have created on a similar topic, but it's not actually original. But at the same time, when you're only talking between 5 and 20 words, independently, it could have actually come up with something very similar to something else someone else has said. Yeah. The same way, just the same as us as humans. And I think that's, you know, the example that you were talking about before with the Beatles and that sort of thing, Jonathan, and other cases like that have, you know, it gets down to the legal sense around copyright, is this independently created and it was a similar riff or something, or were they, you know, truly independent, or was it actually a copy? And that's what they're trying to find out. Same thing with AI. I mean, it will create content that is modeled off previous content, but independently, it can still create stuff that's very, very similar to something else. The same with us as humans. So, you know.
This is a really good conversation. So if you're listening in, I'd love to know what your thoughts are. We would all, as a group, would collectively like to know this, because, I mean, it isn't going to go away, this conversation, anyway. And in some ways, maybe to sum this up, maybe it's just that we get to see further because we get to stand on the shoulder of this particular large giant AI, and you never know what will happen next. So, look, thanks so much for listening on in. Really looking forward to hear what you think about this.
Thanks for listening to the Edgy Tech Me podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe to get notified about new episodes.